This call is being recorded.
Good morning, it's Diane.
Good morning,
Amen.
Good morning, happy Monday. I'm Leticia from Arizona. I'm your greeter this morning. Anybody else on the line would like to say good morning?
Good morning, Leticia. It's Diane.
Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Leticia. Deborah Evans.
Good morning, Sister Evans.
Good morning, it's Susie.
Good morning, Sister Susie. Happy Monday.
Thank you. Same to you.
Sister Yvonne is on the call also.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Monday.
Good morning. It's Barbara.
Good morning, Sister Barbara. How are you?
I'm okay, sweetie. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Good morning, good morning. Happy Monday. It's Leticia from Arizona. I'm your greeter this morning. Anybody else on the line would like to say good morning?
Good morning, Victory family. It's Pam. Happy Monday.
Good morning, Sister Pam. Happy Monday to you, sis.
I wanted to really request that you guys continue to pray for my auntie. She is in Pima Gardens now. They transferred her to a rehabilitation. So she's there now. And Johnny Marie Thorne's family, they're burying her on Wednesday. So if we can keep them lifted up in prayer, we'll really appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm going to ask for you to repeat that family for me. Give me just a second. Can I ask that you repeat that family?
Johnny Marie Thorne.
Johnny Marie Thorne, thank you.
And my auntie Ernestine Howard.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good morning, good morning. Happy Monday. It's Leticia from Arizona. I'm your greeter this morning. Did anybody else join the line? I'd like to say good morning.
Good morning, family. It's Nikisha.
Good morning, Nikisha. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Good morning. Happy Monday. It's Leticia from Arizona. I'm your greeter this morning. Did anybody else join the line? I'd like to say good morning. Good morning, good morning. Happy Monday. It's Leticia from Arizona. I'm your greeter this morning. Can anybody else join the line? I'd like to say good morning. Recognize those who've already said their good mornings, if they could press their standard mute button to preserve the integrity of the call as it is being recorded.
Hello, hi. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. This is Mona.
Good morning, Mona. Happy Monday to you.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, family. Sister Veronica, happy Monday.
Good morning, Sister Veronica. Happy Monday to you, too. Well, family, it is already 6:05 Pacific Standard Time, so I am going to go ahead and get started with the business at hand. Hello, hello again. Happy Monday. Welcome to Declare Victory. I'm happy that you joined us today. We are a prayer call that meets Monday through Saturday, starting at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, here to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Please feel free to invite a friend so they can be blessed too. We hope that you have joined us in May, as the theme is #FearNot. You don't want to miss the teachings, lessons, and the messages that the declarers are preparing as they hear from the Lord for his people on this topic. There is one announcement today. We are taking signups for June. We will be having a class every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Pacific Time that will empower speakers of all levels. The class will be on how to speak in a preaching or teaching capacity and in a public setting, such as right here on the call or in a church-like environment. Please email the instructor Moses at Moses, MOSESABREGO, at gmail.com. If you are interested in being a part of this class, this will be an intense teaching and interactive class with homework and assignments, so it is pertinent to be committed. Please look for the informational coming soon to the Victory Room, and we hope that you can join in. There were no prayer requests submitted on the app. There was one spoken one. Can we please pray for the families of related to Johnny Marie Storm, who will be burying him this week, and for Ernest Howard, as they have already transferred her to Piedmont for some medical conditions. For the call today is the declaration to be done by none other, Mr. Tony Sandoval. Praying and leading us in corporate praise will be done by Sister Barbara. Again, the declaration will be done by Mr. Tony Sandoval, and praying and leading us in corporate prayer will be done by Sister Barbara. Then we'll go right into closing comments hosted by the Declare. At this time, I ask if you can just take a look at your phone. Please make sure that the standard mute button is on. The call is being recorded, and we would love to preserve the integrity of it. I now pass the call to Mr. David Tony Sandoval.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I just asked that you double check your lines to make sure everything is muted. Like was stated in the beginning, we like to preserve the integrity of the call as we do record them. Before we start, I actually would like to start with a verse here, and it's going to be a verse that we all know, that we all are familiar with, and that we all have heard dozens of times, hundreds of times. It's probably been ingrained into your brain, but I think it's really important, and it's always a really good checkpoint in your life to kind of go through it again. It's 1 Peter 5:8, and it goes, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much, God, that you show up. Lord, I ask that you be here. I ask that you speak. I ask that you prepare our hearts and our minds to receive the word that you have prepared, God. I ask that I be minimized and that you may be maximized, God. I ask that you speak loud and clear, God. And I thank you in advance for the things that you're going to do this morning, God, because I know they're powerful. I know that they're life-changing. I know that they're life-altering, God. I ask that you speak loud and clear, Father. And I pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, whenever I speak, whenever I'm asked to speak, whether publicly or whether here on Declare Victory, whether in a small group setting, whenever I'm asked to speak, I really, on the behalf of God, I notice that sometimes God has me just be a vessel of remembrance sometimes, where he asks me just to remind the group, remind the people about something. And sometimes he has me teach something, like really get into something theologically, really break down a verse, really kind of get into things and cross-reference things. And sometimes he has me preach. And sometimes it's a mixture of the two. But today I'm going to preach. Today God has me preaching something to you. So things are going to be a little different today. It's going to be a little bit more fired up. It's going to be a little bit more energized. It's going to be a little bit more involved. And although I can't hear you, I'm going to need you to give me a little amen from time to time. I'm going to need you to give me a little hallelujah from time to time. I'm going to need you to give me a little yes, God, from time to time. Even though I can't hear you wherever you are, that's what I'm going to need from you today. So before we start again, if you can look at your line, just make sure it's muted, preserve the call here. Just make sure that phone line is muted. So this month's theme is fear not. Hashtag fear not. You know, I've been anxious before, but if I'm really honest with you and with myself, I'm not really ever sure that I've really felt fear. Now, don't get me wrong. I've been afraid before. I've been a kid before. I've been scared before. I've felt fear before. But I grew up in a place that you had to always be on guard. I've seen people get jumped before. I've seen people get knocked out before. I've seen people get stabbed before. I've seen something. But I think in a lot of ways, I am either really way too naive to be afraid, or I've become numb to it. Until about a month ago, I have never in my life had an anxiety attack. Never. I've never been a super anxious kid or anything like that. I mean, I felt anxiety before, but I've never to this degree. But a few weeks ago, I kind of started spiraling down this train of thoughts, this spiral of anxiety, this spiral of fear, real fear. Again, I asked if you could just check your line real quick. There's a couple people who are not muted right now, so I can hear you in the background. So if everybody can just double check their phone right now and double check their line just to make sure it's muted so we can continue here. Thank you very much. But yeah, I started feeling this. I could feel the fear in my chest. And it felt like my body was imploding on itself. The fear was so primal, so overwhelming that I really didn't know what to do, because I've never had one of these before. I'm almost 33 years old, and 33 years of being alive, I've never felt what it was like to have an anxiety attack, to have a panic attack. And I was like, it's too late to start now. it's way too late to start having anxiety attacks now, God. What is this? I don't know what this feels like. I don't know what this is. So when it happened, I kind of shook myself a little bit and kind of got together. And it was just this random kind of spiral of events. I was at home. I was planning something. I was trying to do something. And then this one thought popped into my head. This one thing came to my head. This one question. And then that led to another question. And hey, if this happened, this is going to happen. If that's going to happen, this is going to happen. And because that happened, this has to happen. And because that's going to happen, this is going to happen. And it just started dragging me down into this pit. Dragging me down into this pit of fear. And I could feel it in my chest. Like sitting on my chest, piercing down into my body, into my soul. I could feel it. So I was at the rest of the day. I was like, okay, well, that was weird. I'm not sure what that was. So I prayed and I kept asking God, what is this? Like, what is this fear? And what are you telling me by allowing me to feel this? And piece by piece, little by little, God didn't tell me right away. He didn't part the heavens and show up and say, don't worry, son, this is what it is. He kind of told me piece by piece, little by little, and over the next 24 hours, He would just speak to me little by little, and he told me very clearly in parts that there are people who feel like this every single day. There are people who feel fear like this routinely in their life. There are people on this phone line within the sound of my voice who feel this kind of fear and this kind of anxiety every single day. And God told me, you need to know fear. You need to know this kind of fear before you can conquer it. Before you can conquer it. You know, there's an enemy. There's an enemy. And he's always ready to attack you. This is your fight. This is your real fight. Fear is a prime tool that the enemy uses. Fear is based in our own head. The enemy whispers things into our ears until we start declaring those whispers out loud to ourselves. You see, the devil can't make you do anything, but he can make you think something. He will whisper that one thought, that one question, man, are you sure you can do that? Are you sure you're good enough? Are you sure you're good enough to be a father? Are you sure you're good enough to be a husband? Are you sure you're good enough to do this, to do that? And then that spirals another question. And then you start declaring those things to yourself. Man, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I can't be a father. Maybe I'm not going to be good at my job. Maybe I'm not going to be good at this. Maybe I'm not going to be able to do that. And you spiral into this fear. The devil can't make you do anything, but man, he can sure lay seeds. And you start declaring those things to yourself. He discredits our ability, our character. He wounds us with doubt. He berates us with hate. He tears us down piece by piece. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour. I love that verse for a couple of reasons. A couple of reasons because it reminds you who the devil is, that you have a very real enemy, that he wants to hurt you, kill you, hunt you down, tear you to pieces. But I also love it because it comes with a little bit of a prologue to it. It's a great thermometer check. Be sober, be vigilant. So when this happened, I said, all right, well, this verse came to my heart and God gave it to me. And I started, okay, well, this is always a great check, right? Well, I know I have an enemy. I know he's seeking to devour me. He's walking around looking for me like a roaring lion. Am I being sober? Am I being vigilant? Sober doesn't necessarily mean that I had a little too much wine that day or something like that. A couple of mimosas in the morning doesn't mean that. Sober means to be clear-headed. In my right mind, to be thinking clearly. Did I have a clear head? Was I thinking clearly? Was I in my right mind, both spiritually and mentally, with God? No. Was I vigilant? Vigilant means keeping careful watch for danger. Keeping careful watch for danger. Was I keeping careful watch? Was I looking out for danger? Was I ready for an attack? No. No. The answer to both those things is no. I wasn't sober. I wasn't vigilant. I wasn't clear-headed. I wasn't thinking clearly. And I wasn't keeping careful watch. The enemy loves to confuse your mind so that you won't think clearly and you aren't in your right mind, and he loves to catch you off guard. The devil loves guerrilla warfare. The devil's a lot of things. He's a liar for sure. He's a thief. He's a killer. But he's also extremely patient. He waits till you're not sober. He waits till you're not being vigilant. And then he starts whispering. And then he starts attacking. That's when he gets you. I wasn't being sober. I wasn't being vigilant. I remember this verse when I had my anxiety attack, and it had to settle in me. I needed to do a spiritual checkup. You know, was I sober? Was I clear-headed? Was I not confused? Was I vigilant? Was I keeping careful watch for danger? I wasn't, and I was attacked. But God used this to settle in me this deep resolve. This deep resolve, church, to be ready to fight the enemy at a moment's notice. To beat back his fear with our faith. To take a different posture. The posture of offense versus defense. To not only be ready to fight, but be ready to attack. God has always allowed men to be sifted as wheat. In Luke 22:31, just like when Jesus told Peter, said, oh, Peter, the devil has asked for you by name. He's asked that you be sifted like wheat, that you be beaten back, that you be torn down, that you be removed from the shaft of the wheat. But Jesus told Peter just like that. And Job, too. The devil even asked for Job. He's like, oh, Job would be, he's a good servant to you because he has X, because he has Y. Let me take that away. Let me hurt his body. Let me take away his faith. The devil is asking for you by name. The devil is asking for your children by name. The devil is asking for your husband, for your wife, for your ministry, for your pastors by name, that they may be sifted as wheat. The devil meant this fear, this anxiety for evil. But God meant it for good, to strengthen my own resolve, to remind me who I really was, and to remind me that I had a purpose for this specific, very specific cause. It's no coincidence that this month's theme is fear not. It's absolutely no coincidence that we're in this month speaking about fear. You and I will be sifted like wheat. Fear will come for us all. But God has given us tools for the offensive. In sports, they say that the best defense is a good offense. And I think the same way about our faith. We need to be proactive rather than just reactive. We need to be continually guarding ourselves against the enemy and beating him back with our own faith. When the Bible talks about putting on the full armor of God, it talks about a chest plate, a helmet, but it also talks about a sword. It also talks about shoes to run. It also talks about offensive weapons as well as defensive weapons. We're not meant to just stay in the trenches. We're meant to get out and attack the enemy and beat him back and chase him back where he belongs. We need to be continually guarding ourselves against the enemy and beating him back with our faith. But what do you do today? You woke up with fear. You woke up with anxiety of your life. What do you do if fear is an everyday part of your life? What do you do? I'm going to give you three things. Three things today. It's going to help you beat back fear and take the fight back to the enemy. Resist, regroup, restore. Resist, regroup, restore. 1 Peter 5:9. Resist him, standing firm in your faith. It's the verse right after the first one that we spoke today, 1 Peter 5:8. Resist him, standing firm in your faith. Right after the Bible tells you that the devil is a roaring lion looking to hunt you down and tear you apart, tells you to resist him and stand firm in your faith. The devil will drag you down a pit of fear. He wants to stop you in your tracks and lock you in a cycle of fear. Fear is a prison and he wants you there. You need to say, stop. Get behind me, Satan. You're not going to leave me. You're not going to be in front of me. You're not going to declare the rest of my future. You need to get behind me. In Matthew 16:22, Jesus is talking and he's opening up and he's giving his grand master plan. He's telling his disciples, all right, guys, this is the plan. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to save humanity. This is what's going to change the whole course of the rest of our history. This is how we're going to save tens of millions and billions of people. This is what's going to happen. Matthew 16:22, 21, I should say. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the priests and the scribes, and that he must be killed on the third day to be raised to life. Jesus lays out his master plan, throws the blueprints on the table in front of his disciples. And Peter, verse 22, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Rebuke means to correct. He began to correct Jesus, of all people, and say, dude, this isn't going to happen to you. This shall never happen to you. This shall never happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. When God lays out the grand master plan for your life, when he throws the blueprint on the table and he says, this is what I have for you. This is the promises that I have for you. This is the next course of the rest of your life. This is your future. These are all the things that I have for you. The devil whispers back and he takes you aside, away from the group. And he says, hey, this shall never happen to you. You will never be able to do this. You will never be able to accomplish that. You'll never be able to be good at your job. You'll never be able to be a good pastor. You'll never be able to be a good father, a good wife, good mother, good daughter, good son. You'll never be able to do any of those things that God has promised you. And Jesus, he doesn't scold Peter. He scolds the devil. He knew that those words weren't Peter, that they were the devil. And he says, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. For you do not have in mind the things of God, the things of men. When the devil tells you, this shall never happen to you. You'll never be able to do this. You need to take a hold of the situation and resist and tell the devil he needs to take a back seat to your life. This isn't about him. He's there to trip you up and be a stumbling block. He's there to keep your mind on the problems and not the promises. He's there to drive you down in fear and plant that seed of fear and tell you you're not good enough, you're not able enough, you're not capable enough, and just start spiraling you down. But you have to resist. Take hold of the situation, dig your heels in, and say, no, get behind me. You can't be in front of me dictating the rest of my life, dictating my future, dictating my next decision, dictating my next move. You are not in charge here. Get behind me, Satan. Resist. The next thing you can do is you regroup. You regroup. You take a spiritual audit where you are. You take a spiritual audit of where you are. Have you been staying close to God? Are you growing? But you also need to ask yourself, are you alone? Reassemble is another synonym for regroup. Reassemble is another word for regroup, to put back into a group. That's what it means. You were out of, you were in a group, you were taken out of a group, now we're putting you back in a group. The Bible says that we are all part of one body. The best offense is a team offense. Get with some Christians who will go to war with you, who will pray the paint off the walls for you, who will be with you in this time of need. 1 Peter 5:9, the rest of that verse says, standing firm in your faith and knowledge that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. We all suffer. We are all in this together. We may suffer differently. We may sin differently. We may fear different things, but we're all in this together. Regroup. Get back with your group. Get back on this prayer line. Get back on this phone call at 6 in the morning and start being fed. Start being empowered. Start being built up. Start getting regrouped and rebuilt. We all suffer, and we are all in the same way. Currently, I'm in an interesting situation. I have this great, amazing thing I'm looking forward to, is that I was engaged, and I'm getting married next April, April 9th, 2020. If you're all in Cancun, hit me up. That's where I'll be. And I have this great thing, but I'm also going through this kind of this different thing, too, where both my grandmas are actually fighting cancer at the same time. My other grandma is about 90 years old, and she's pretty weak. So weak that if they do chemo on her, it'll actually kill her faster than the cancer. And my other grandma is fighting cancer for the third time in the past 10, 15 years. We all suffer. We all go through things. We can't decide what we go through. We can control two things. How we go through these things, and who we go through with, who we go, let me say that one more time. We can only change two things, how we go through these things and who we go through with them. Who are you going to take with you? You know, well, man, I'm struggling right now. I'm suffering right now. I'm carrying this burden. I have this heaviness about me, but I'm going to go through this with my church group. I'm going to go through this with my life group. And my pastor is going to pray me through this. My friends are going to help me through this and pray me through this. The situation will not dictate to me who my God is. That's what I decided. That my situation will not tell me who my God is. My God will dictate to who I am in the situation. It will not take away from who He is. No matter what happens, no matter how it happens, I've told God before, you are who you are. And regardless of what happens, it will not change who you are. I told you I believed who you are in the good times, and I'm going to believe who you are in the bad times. I'm going to believe that you are good God in the good times, and that you are a good God in the hard times. I've resisted. I've regrouped. I got people with me who will pray with me, who will pray for me, who will empower me to believe that God is who He is. And on those really hard days, I know that there's people who are praying for me. I know that there's people I can call. I know that there's people I can text who will regroup with me and get me right and get me in the right frame of mind. Resist, regroup. Number three is restore. Restore. Wherever you are right now, just say restore out loud. Restore. God wants you to be restored. 2 Peter 1:4, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises. Say promises out loud, promises. So that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Promises. God has given you promises. In that verse He says He's given you promises so that you can participate. He has given you promises so that you can participate. God has given you promises so that you can participate in sharing the good God's nature and escape the world. God wants to restore these promises in your life. God wants to restore these promises in your life. This reminded me, as I was getting prepared for this, and the way I kind of put together a sermon in my head is God will drop something in my heart, like an anxiety attack. And I'll ask God, hey, what is this? And He'll start giving me a little piece and a little piece and a little piece and a little piece. And I'll start building together, coming together, and forming together. And then I have this outline of things in my heart, outline of things in my head. And then I go to my laptop or I go to my notepad and I start writing it all out. And I start just putting it on there. right? And God will tell me, hey, yeah, put this in there and put that in there. Remember that verse and look up this verse and look up the definition of this word and look through this and break this down and teach this and preach that and remind them of this. And God reminded me of something. I was one of those weird kids who loved watching documentaries, and I loved watching National Geographic. I love National Geographic, man, like seeing the animals and cheetahs and different tribes and different people. And this reminded me of this National Geographic special about the Maasai tribe in Africa. Maasai is spelled M-A-A-S-A-I. And I even looked it up on YouTube to make sure that my memory wasn't tricking me. If you look it up, National Geographic Maasai tribe, they had a really interesting way of gathering food from time to time. What they would do is if there was a pride of lions feasting on, you know, on a buffalo, and they were eating a buffalo, they would approach the lions as they ate a fresh kill. And in this video, if you look up the YouTube video, it's three of them. There's only three of them, and there's like, I don't know, 8-10 lions. And they're eating this giant buffalo, and they're roaring, and they're tearing them apart, and they're eating, and they're just grubbing, they're just getting down. And these three tribesmen, their cloaks and their little staff, stand up. And they stand up together. And they start walking on over to the lion. And the lions look up, and they look at them, and they're kind of bluffing and playing chicken with each other. And the lions start noticing, these dudes aren't backing down. They're not running at us. They're walking towards us. And they're not backing down, and they're not turning away. And the lions roar. They don't go back. And the big lion, the main lion, the big one with the mane, stands up and he roars, and they don't back down. And they get closer, and they get closer, and they get closer to the kill. And the lions just kind of freak out. They get nervous, and they bounce. They leave. They run into the bushes. There was like this big pile of bushes in the background, and they just ran full sprint. They turned around and took off, bolted into the bushes there. And the tribesmen went up to the kill to the buffalo, and they cut off this big chunk of the buffalo meat, and they took it with them. But they went together. The devil is like a roaring lion. The devil is like a roaring lion who walketh about looking to devour us. Looking to devour us. How many times has the devil backed you down? How many times has the devil walked you down, stalked you down, broke you down, and tore promises away from you? And tore promises away from your family? And torn promises away from your marriage? And torn promises away from your ministry life, your professional life, your personal life? Now is the time to regroup and to restore and to take the devil's lunch. He's feasting on your promises. He's feasting on your calling. He's feasting on your family. He's feasting on your marriage, on your kids. He's tearing apart everything God has promised. But if we stand together, if we resist together, if we regroup together, if we restore together, we can take back what the enemy has stolen from us. We can take back the promises that God originally told us and laid out and laid the blueprint for our life. And it doesn't matter how many times the devil whispered, you can't do this. This will never happen to you. And it doesn't matter how many times the devil has won that small battle where he's devouring that promise. You can resist, you can regroup, and you can restore. Those things are promised to you. Rewind with me, take a step back. Remember my anxiety attack that I began to explain to you in the morning? The night I had my anxiety attack, I had a dream, and I was explaining that dream to my fiance when I was trying to explain to her what I felt God was telling me and God was talking to me about. And God rarely gives me dreams, but he decided to give me one on this one just to kind of reinforce and put a final stamp into things. But remember my anxiety attack, the night that I had my anxiety attack, I had a dream. I was running down these hallways. This house, it felt like a house, but it was dark It was gloomy. It was scary. Like a horror movie. I'm running around in these dark hallways, terrified. And what I was running from was there's this lion, this big, hungry, powerful, fast lion. And he was chasing me through these hallways, and I could hear his panting. I could hear his breath. I could hear his roaring, the pounding of his powerful legs against the floor, the claws scratching on the floor and the walls. I could hear him, and I could feel his breath right on the back of my neck. And I was terrified. I was scared. And then I stopped in my dream. I stopped dead in my tracks. I turned around. And I began to chase him instead. I began to chase the lion instead. This was God talking to me, trying to tell me something. And then I read this. About a week later, as I was still kind of formulating the thoughts in my head, still kind of going through this, still going through the promises, I was reading in 2 Samuel about David's mighty men. About these group of men that he had with him that were powerful warriors. And David begins to name their different exploits. This is why this guy is great. This is why that guy is great. This is why this guy succeeded. This is why this guy is powerful. This is why this guy's got the juice. This is why this guy is in the group of 20 mighty men. And in 2 Samuel 23:20, he talks about Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. And he says, he was a valiant fighter from Kabzeel, and he performed great exploits. He did a bunch of stuff. And two of the best things that he did was he struck down Moab's two mightiest warriors. But he also, get this, 2 Samuel 23:20, but he also went down into a pit on a snowy day and he killed a lion. It's time to be a lion chaser. That was today's title. It's time to be a lion chaser. It's time to get offensive instead of defensive. It's time to be proactive instead of reactive. It's time to chase the devil back into the pit where he belongs. It's time to resist him. It's time to regroup with our brothers and our sisters. And it's time to restore everything that God has promised for you. Everything that God has promised you, it's time to get back. It's time to get on the offensive. It's no longer waiting till the next bad thing happens. It's no longer waiting till the next anxiety attack starts happening. It's not longer waiting till the next thing happens in my life. The next argument that I have with my kids, the next argument that I have with my boss, you got to get proactive. You have to get after those things. You got to fight the devil back and chase him back into the pit. The devil is a lion, but so is your God. You know, the weird thing about the devil is that he always takes something that God does and he copies it. He bastardizes it. He waters it down. He diminishes it. The devil will always be a second-rate lion. Hosea 11:10 says, they will walk it after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. Jeremiah 25:38 says, he has left his hiding place like a lion. Hosea 5:14 says, for I will be like a lion to Ephraim and like a young lion to the house of Judah. Hosea 13:7 says, so I will be the lion to them. Hosea 13:8 says, there I will be also devour them like lionesses, and the wild beast would tear them down. Jeremiah 50:44 says, behold, one will come up like a lion from the thicket of the Jordan. Isaiah 38:13 says, I compose my soul until morning like a lion. God is a lion. He's the real lion of the tribe of Judah. So when the devil roars at you with his borrowed, copy, watered down, imitation, tired roar, you remind him that the lion of the tribe of Judah has your back. The true lion, not the copy, Jehovah Roy, my protector, is with me until the end. He hasn't forsaken me. He hasn't given up on me. He's going to help me restore myself. He's going to help me resist you, devil. And he's going to help me remind me of my promises, and he's going to chase you back. The devil can't take anything away from you that you don't give up. Be offensive, not be defensive. Be encouraged. Fight fear with your faith, and God will restore you. Thank you for being with me today. I'm going to pass the call back to the prayer warrior.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, Lord.
First of all, thanking you for waking us up to see another day, Lord. Lord, I thank you for Tony's message, Lord Jesus, reminding us that we have to resist, regroup, and restore, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful day that we have today, Lord. I thank you for who you are and reminding us whose we are, Lord Jesus. Father, I shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. I worship the Lord with gladness. I come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. Yes, Lord. It is he who made us, and we are his. Yes, we are, Lord. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, yes, Lord, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, Lord, for the Lord is good and his love is enduring forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations, Lord. Oh, Lord, I come to you this morning so humbly, Father, just thanking you, continuing to thank you. Thank you for who, just how awesome you are, Lord, and how just at the time when we need you, you're right there, Lord Jesus. Father, I needed this message this morning, Lord, and I just thank you. I can't thank you enough for Tony, Lord. I ask that you continue to instill in him your word, Lord, and continue to help him to impart your word to us so we understand, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, I'm just so thankful this morning, Lord. Lord, I lift up Sister Pam's aunt, Ernestine Howard, Lord. She's in Piedmont Gardens, Lord. I know you know where she is, Father. I just ask you to visit her room, Lord. Touch her with your healing hand, Lord Jesus. I lift up the Storm family to you, Lord, asking you to comfort them, Father. Only you can comfort them, Lord. I just praise you this morning, Lord. I just magnify your name this morning, Lord. I just love you so much this morning, Lord. I thank you for the good and the bad, Lord, and helping us to see good through the bad, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. I lift up those prayer requests that were not spoken this morning, Lord, for we all know that there's something that we're in need of, Lord Jesus. I lift up the Declared Victory family to you, Lord, our needs, our health, our jobs, our finances, and our protection, Lord Jesus. For we know you are our protector, Lord Jesus. Lord, I lift up the marriages to you, Lord, thanking you for bonding us closer and closer together, Lord. I lift up the singles, Lord, those that you are preparing for marriage, Lord Jesus, and those that will remain single, Lord. There's nothing wrong with being single, Father. For when we're single, we put you first for sure. Lord, I lift up our families to you, Lord, thanking you for our families that are saved, our families that are unsaved, Lord. I just ask you to touch them in a special way and let them know that they need you, Lord. They can't make it in this world without you, Lord. I lift our children up to you, Lord, thanking you for our children, Lord. Oh, Lord, I thank you for this young girl that was kidnapped yesterday. But she was recovered, Lord. They found her, Lord. It was only by you that happened, Father. I also pray for the other young girl that we still haven't found, Lord Jesus. I lift her family up to you and her parents up to you, Lord. I pray for our co-workers, Lord, those that we work with, Lord. Allow us to be a light in some of these dark places where we work, Lord Jesus. I lift our neighbors up to you, Lord. I lift our friends up to you, Lord. I lift our enemies up to you, Lord. Father, I lift our pastors up to you. Every pastor that is connected to this call, Lord, I lift them up to you and ask you to continue to anoint their minds and continue to bless them and their families, Lord Jesus. Bless their churches, Lord Jesus. Our local churches. Our churches all across the world, Lord Jesus, that are serving you, Lord. I lift up all our cities to you, Lord. There are so many cities that are represented on this phone, Father, and I know you know each one of them, Lord. I just lift them up to you. I lift up this fog of crime that is going on in our world, Lord Jesus, right now. Father, just ask you to continue to protect us, Lord. I lift our policemen and our firemen, our legislature and our government, Lord, and most of all, our president and his cabinet, Lord. I lift it up to you, Father, because I know that you're in control of all things, Lord. I lift up our military to you, Lord, our veterans, Lord. Father, I just thank you this morning. My heart is so full this morning because I love you so much, Lord, and I just thank you so much. I just praise you so much, Lord. Lord, I just ask that everyone take their phones off of mute and continue to praise the Lord as we know how to praise.
Amen, Father God. Amen.
Father
God. God bless you today, Father God.
Thank you this morning.
We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God. We invite you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, have your way among us, Holy Spirit. Pour into us. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your spirit today, Father God.
Thank you, Lord. We belong to you, Lord.
Thank you, Father God, for who you are. Thank you, Father God, for what you have done. Thank you, Lord, that nothing that comes against us, Lord, has any power when it comes to you, God. You are everything that we need, Lord God. We bless your name, Lord. So we fear not, Lord God, because you care for us. We fear not, Lord God, because we all I care is for you, Lord God. We understand, Lord God, that it is a test of our faith, Lord God, a resilience, Lord God, that you thank you for in us, Lord God. Your word says that you are the vine, Lord God, and we are the branch, God, and apart from you, God, we can't do nothing, Lord God, so we remain in you, Lord God, and you remain in us, Lord Jesus. Bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, God. Hallelujah. We need you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, my Savior, my Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, dear. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, God. Give me peace, Lord God. Give us protection, Lord God. Hallelujah. Abba, my Father. Thank you, God. Your kingdom come. Hallowed be thy name, God.
Thank you, Lord. Cover me from head to toe, Lord, as I walk in that warehouse, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yes, Lord Jesus, you are so worthy.
You are so worthy, Lord.
Yes, in Jesus' name. As you continue to watch over us, Lord Jesus, we thank you. I just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I pass the call to Mr. Tony.
Morning, everybody. Welcome back. I realized that I didn't give you the title of today's message until later on. But today's message was called Chasing Lions. So I'm going to open up the line here. If you have any questions, if you have any comments, I am here to listen with you, pray with you, or just reaffirm anything that you might have. So go ahead. Go ahead.
Thank you this morning, Tony, for your message.
No problem. I
appreciate all the things you said, and I was taking notes, and you was talking so fast I couldn't get them all. But I got
to talk fast, yeah.
I got some of the main things though. That resist and regroup and restore, Father. Oh, thank you, Tony. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's something actually that didn't come a little later. It came from reading the text a little bit more in 1 Peter 5:8-9. Just kind of digging into it a little more, I realized that there was these three points in there. And I was like, oh, we should probably pull this out and talk about it. So that's where it comes from. If you're looking to check my notes, it's 1 Peter 5:8-9. 1 Peter 5:8-9, I should say. Thank you for that, sister. Anybody else have any questions?
Scripture. Towards the end, gave us some Jeremiah scriptures.
I gave a couple. It was Jeremiah 50:44.
Okay, thank you.
And then there was another one that was Jeremiah 25:38. Basically just did a cross-reference, and I looked up where God referred to himself as a lion. And that happens most in the Old Testament. So there's a bunch of them in there.
Be encouraged.
Ah, thank you, sister. Anybody else have any questions or any comments?
Good morning. This is Chris Shonda. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
I just wanted to say I really enjoyed your declaration this morning. It was perfect for Monday. I feel fired up. I feel like I'm going to be a lion chaser. And thank you so much. That regroup part is, I think, really important. And I'm so happy to have Declare Victory to help me with that regrouping and to hear declarations like this.
No problem. You got it. Anybody else have any comments, any questions?
Hi, Tony. Good morning. It's Moni.
Hey, Moni. How are you?
Oh, well, you know what? You really started off our week with a bang. You know, I don't even need to add anything. Everything you said today is just so empowering, and it really is from the heart of God, because he wants us to just walk boldly and know our identity. I know that the power we have inside of us is so much greater than what the enemy throws at us. And you really dragged those tools out today, and you really declared today. And really, this is a great message of empowerment for all of us. I know that on the weekly, sometimes on the daily, but mostly on the weekly, I have found myself saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Just with every thought that comes into my mind that is not of the Lord, that is attacking my mind. I could be driving, or I could be walking somewhere, or just, you know, laying there. I mean, I take that thought captive right away, and I speak death to it. And, you know, we have to know our power and authority in this life, being a follower of Christ. And that's a tool that he gave us. And you really made that shine today. And I just want to thank you for the message that you brought. We really needed it. And, you know, some people might listen to this playback. They might not be on the call, but you know what? It's going to help them. It's going to help each and every one of us, because we all need to hear this. There's no one that doesn't need to hear this. We all need to hear this. And if we're not in a place right now where we think we need to utilize it, then somebody else needs to hear it from us. We need to go and give this away. Empower someone else with what you brought us today, Tony. So I love you. Thank you. And God bless you. And may God pour back into you twofold, 2 million-fold.
keep multiplying. We can give
up.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I can always tell. Anytime I prepare something, I always ask that God to give me his heart for whatever he wants to say and like just to amplify his heart. But sometimes, once in a while, it's like a lot. It's like God really, really wants to drive this point across, and he'll bring something to my life that'll really drive the point across and to make me really feel it. Because what's important to God should be what's important to us, but it's not often important to us until we have to go through those things. So I knew God wanted me to really feel it, so that I can understand it, I could relate to it, and I can bring it to you guys. So you guys are very much loved by God, that he would go about this way, for you guys specifically. So just be encouraged with that. Thank you for that morning. Is there anybody else who has any comments or any questions? Okay. Anybody else have any comments, any questions here? Okay.
Hi, Tony. This is Sonia.
Hey, Sonia.
I was sitting back here debating whether to say this, but I was listening to your declaration, which I love, especially when you talk about a lion, and being a lion chaser. The Lord was impressing upon me, and it's even when we chase a lion, there's a period where we're quiet because we're being restored. Mm-hmm. There's a period where we're quiet because being restored is also being transformed, being renewed in our mind. And that's when we're quiet, because he's given us things in our period of being quiet. So that when we do chase that lion, we're equipped with the weapons that he's given us, because there's an arsenal down deep within us that we know not about. It's a seed that he is watering. And that's why I was listening. And I'm sorry for tapping in so late, but I was listening to what he was saying to me. And when we don't automatically chase, that's a good thing, because he's preparing us for it. So when we begin to chase, we're equipped. And when that lion dashes one way, we're already prepared for that. So we bend and lean like a reed in the wind. So we're already prepared for where he's going to move. So we're not caught off guard.
Mm.
So don't be worried about when you have to get quiet.
Yeah.
That's when he's giving you some weapons, some things, some plans. He's preparing you for the purpose.
Yeah, 100%. You know, that super reminds me of I can't remember. It's Exodus. I think it's either chapter 13. I think it's chapter 13, if I remember. I just try to look it up, but I think it's Exodus 13, where the Israelites have just gotten released out of slavery, out of Egypt, and that the Bible says clearly that they have a clear cut, direct way to the promised land, but that God doesn't take them directly to the promised land because they're not ready to fight. They're not ready for battle. They're not ready for war. And that if they do get into war, that they'll run back, that they'll head back to slavery. That oftentimes God doesn't really take you directly to where you're supposed to be sometimes, because he has to prepare you. He has to have you be quiet. He has to have you through a season of where you feel like you're wandering through the wilderness a little bit, so that he can empower you until those certain things die off of you. Like, that whole generation of people had to basically die so that the new kids, their children, their sons, their daughters can take the new land. And that's exactly what you're talking about, is that God's preparing you sometimes, and sometimes he has to change you in the process until you get to that promised land, until you get to your final destination. So that's absolutely 100% biblical. So I appreciate you adding that on.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. I appreciate that. Is there anybody else who has any comments, any questions? I know we covered a lot today, and I realize that it's a lot to have sink in. Just to kind of go over the high points again, we started in 1 Peter 5:8. We broke that down into three things, which was 3 points, which is resist, regroup, and restore. And our verses were 1 Peter 5:8-9. And then another main point was in 2 Samuel 23:20. I know we covered a lot. I know it was some heavier material. I know I spent a lot of the time preaching at you today, but I thought it was very necessary to get you guys up, riled up, ready for the week here. But now that if anybody has any comments, any questions, we'll take a couple more here. Anybody's on the line here still? Okay. If nobody has any questions, any comments, then I'm just going to go ahead and pray us out, and then we can start
our morning.
Good morning.
I just had to, I was riding into work, and I just could not say something. I came into work, and now I left my coffee in the car. You had me so thrown. I got to go back and get my coffee.
Yeah,
I mean, that word you brought this morning was, you could tell, first of all, I was God-inspired, but you can also tell, not but, and, you could tell that you put in the work to deliver us a message. That message, like Moni was saying, people will hear that message and get some inspiration and get delivered. I heard you like you were standing from a pulpit preaching. I know that wasn't your intent. You're declaring a declaration to us. But that message was so on point. And as you were speaking, I could hear things, and then you would say it. And it was like God just saying, this is it. This is my word. And we know that because we know the word, for those that know the word. But I just want to encourage you that across pulpits, wherever, this message right here is something that is absolutely, it blessed me this morning. And I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. I want you to know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And even when we don't respond sometimes like we expect people to, and I'm not saying that you do, just know this, that message was absolutely a blessing. Love you
thank
and appreciate you,
so you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for that. Anything I say, I always hope that it be God inspired. So I really appreciate that. Thank you for that. Okay. Does anybody else have any comments, any questions? Okay. If we have no more comments, no more questions, I'll go ahead and pray us out. And then you guys can start your Monday here. Father, thank you so much for today, God. Thank you so much for your word here today, God. Thank you for inspiring us. Thank you for rejuvenating us, God. Thank you for teaching us how to resist today, Father Lord, how to regroup and how to restore, Father Lord, the things that were promised to us that we might have thought were lost, Father Lord. You are a God of restoring. You are a God who regroups us. You are a God who helps us resist, Father Lord, temptation, resist the enemy, Father Lord, and I ask that you just bless us today, that you guide us today, that you prepare us today, God. I pray that we may have good days, Father Lord, that we may have productive days, God, that we may have safe days, Father Lord, that we grow just a little bit better, just a little bit more peaceful today, Father Lord, and I pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hope you guys have a happy Monday. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Everybody have a blessed day. Love y'all.
Have a great day, everybody.
walking in the truth, praying for our youth. Heaven bent, supporting one another, a living faith is what this life promotes. Committed to press on, reaching life, forgiving one another, while staying on our knees, for it's God we aim to please. We are declared victory. True, praying for our youth. Heaven bent, supporting one another, a living faith is what this life promotes. Committed to press on, reaching life, forgiving one another, while staying on our knees, for it's God we aim to please. We are declared victory. Supporting one another, a living faith is what this life promotes. Committed to press on, reaching life, forgiving one another, while staying on our knees, for it's God we aim to please. We are declared victory. Supporting one another, a living faith is what this life promotes. Committed to press on, reaching life, forgiving one another, while staying on our knees, for it's God we aim to please. We are declared victory. Supporting one another, a living faith is what this life promotes. Committed to press on, reaching life, forgiving one another, while staying on our knees, for it's God we aim to please. We are declared victory. Supporting one another, a living faith is what this life promotes. Committed to press on, reaching life, forgiving one another, while staying on our knees, for it's God we aim to please. We are declared victory. Supporting one another, a living faith is what this life promotes. committed to press on, reaching light, forgiving one another, while staying on our knees, for it's God we aim to please, we are declared victory. True, praying for our youth, heaven bent, supporting one another, a living faith is what this life promotes, committed to press on, reaching light, forgiving one another, while staying on our knees, for it's God we aim to please, we are declared victory. Supporting one another, a living faith is what this life promotes. Committed to press on, reaching light, forgiving one another, while staying on our knees. For it's God.